Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners. It is now 8:30. The 8:30 hour. And it's once again Wednesday. It is a time that God has set aside for us to explore the Word of God together. As always, we're thankful and we're grateful that God has allowed us to come together one more time. It is by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus, and we don't take it lightly. This is truly a day that God has made. Each and every one of us should be able to find something to rejoice in. Because if it had not been for God on our side, where would we be? Tonight, the topic of our lesson is, if God be for you, who can be against you? And we are coming from the book of Daniels, the 3rd chapter, the 1st through the 30th verse. As always, we have to enter the throne of grace, because God said, in all things through prayer and supplication, make your request known unto him. There is nothing that you should do, embark upon, have a desire for, or work towards without first bringing God into your plans. Some people say, Sister Diane, he already know everything and he know what I want. And he knows this and knows that. Yes, he does. But God wants to hear from you. He wants to have an intimate relationship with you. He wants you to communicate with him. Because even in the world we live in, and not just the spiritual side of things, communication is so important. The breakdown of communication have ruined lives and marriages and broke relationships and created broken relationships. So we have to realize that communication is important. So just think a while to see how much more important communicating with God. If anyone would like to open up with prayer at this time, you could do so by pressing the 1 button on your phone. And if not, I'm going to bring Madison up. Once Madison get through, we're going to play a song that I think is appropriate for the lesson. And then we're going to explore the Word of God together. Hold on. Madison?
Yes, ma'am. Good evening, everybody. First, I want to talk about faith because that has a lot to do with the lesson. Well, faith we use as a religious word, but also as a regular word in our vocabulary. And faith means trusting in something that you cannot see, as in God. And so, let's start off with prayer. God, thank you for this Wednesday that people took their time, even though they might have a lot of things to do, even though jobs might be ending if your teachers are having to do something with a school, or as some teenagers or adults taking classes right now, their school year is ending. God, thank you for letting people have phones so they could tune in to this blog talk, and that when they tune in, they know what they want to hear, and that's things about you, God. And thank you, God, for allowing us to be one of the people on this blog talk to talk about God. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you so much, Madison. And the song that I'm about to play, it's called Right in the Middle. When you listen at this song, what it is saying, that sometimes things, circumstances, situations, adversities, trials, and tribulations may be going on in your life. And you being going through it, it seems like you may be all alone. And sometimes you feel like God is some way far off, or that he didn't hear you, or that he don't know. But God is saying through this song that I'm right in the middle of everything that could go on in your life, everything that can happen. Nothing can happen to you that can take God by surprise. And the title of the song is I'm Right in the Middle. Once this song is over, we're going to come back and we're going to explore the Word of God together. Be blessed.
Sometimes it seems hard to see, I care for you, and sometimes it's hard for you to see that I'm there with you. Oh, be strong, hold on, and know I'm right there in the middle. Oh,
when you cry. Times I must question your faith. Oh, don't give up, always look up, don't give in. I'm right there in the middle, yeah, yeah. Hey, heartache, I'm right there. Tried to take your hope away. I was there when you didn't know right from wrong. Yeah, I was there when your friends walked out on you. I was there when you didn't know what to do. Yeah, when you searched and found all of your family was gone. When you couldn't see your night from day. Oh.
Should be encouragement to all of us, to know that God is always there. And we know it's to be true because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I know in my life it was times when I thought God was so far off, but as I studied the word and learned more, I realized that God wasn't separating afar from me. I was separating myself with God. So we have to evaluate and see where we are and what's going on with us before we can, you know, decide or think that way, because that's how Satan wants you to lead. Oh, God is not close to you. You're not good enough for God to be right there with you. You know what you did yesterday. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And if God said it, you could believe it. I see that there's a lot more callers that came in. So I'm going to tell you the title of the lesson again, and I'm going to give the scripture, and then we're going to go ahead and expound on the word of God together. The title of the lesson is, If God Be For You, Who Can Be Against You? And it's coming from the book of Daniel, the 3rd chapter, the 1st through the 30th verse. I pray that each and every one of you had time to read the scriptures that were posted. But if not, and if you did, I still encourage to get your Bible, because the 3rd chapter of Daniel is a complete story from beginning to end on a specific situation in the Bible. As always, I give a little background in the life of Daniel, which Daniel is the writer of this book. It can be read in his own writing in the book of Daniel. He tells his story about the goodness of God and all that God had did for him. You see, the book of Daniel is about a time when the Israelites were captured by the Babylonians. And it's amazing because if you understand this, they were captured. You know, there were many times in battles when God was with the Israelites. He told them what to do, how to do it, why to do it. And they always was able to come out of battles victoriously. But you see, this was a battle that they were going to do. But if you look at it and you understand, God had allowed the Babylonians to capture the Israelites because of their disobedience. You know, they were doing what they wanted and how they wanted, and God had told them, you know, y'all gonna fall. You see, God used the Babylonians as his agent of judgment against the Israelites for their sins of idolatry and rebellious against them. But through it all, God had a master plan that he had for the Israelites, and nothing's going to change it, because the Israelites is his chosen people. And even though they of all of their disobedience and turning it back on God, and the Jews who are Israelites not accepting, not all of them, but some of the Jews still not accepting his son as the Savior, God made a promise to Abraham concerning the Israelites, and he's not going to go back on it. When they took over Jerusalem, they destroyed the temple. They took captives of many thousands of Jews. They left Jerusalem in ruins. You see, what would happen when a king would take over a place, which this king, Nebuchadnezzar, took over Babylon, they would take the best of the best, and they would train them, and they would train them, and they would use them in their kingdom. You know, it was almost like they was recruiting. So what happened when the king had taken over Jerusalem, you know, Daniel was one of the captives. So the king saw that Daniel had something special in him, with him. He saw that Daniel, whoever his God was with Daniel. That's almost like now when we say, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify the Father. You see, if you got a light in you, which comes from God, people will recognize it. It could be your enemies. It should be your loved ones. It should be anything. But do you have a light? Daniel did. You see, they took Daniel in, and they wanted Daniel to be of a service to the king. And the king liked Daniel, and Daniel was smart, and Daniel was good. But they had to train him. So they trained him for 3 years. And during the training, one of the first things, they had special diets they wanted them to eat. But the diet was like against what God had designed for them to eat at that time. So they refused to eat the food, and they had to be called to the king. And the king said, well, okay, if y'all want to try, but after a certain amount of time, if it didn't work, you got to do what I say. And they agreed. Well, lo and behold, they became vegetarians, and they ate the way that they thought would please God by being Jews. And when the period of time was over, their health was better than everybody else who was in the training. I guess Nebuchadnezzar said, yeah, they're working with something. And so Daniel had got in. But watch this. Daniel remembered some of his people that came over with him. And he probably had special friends. And he had these three young men that he loved. And he, because of his position, he asked the king to put them in position as well. And they was in a training and everything. So the three young men came along. You see, and the first things that they did after Daniel and them had passed all of the classes for the 3 years, they changed their name. They changed the name because they believed that this would help disassociate them from their culture and their way of life and get them more in tune and more in touch to the ways that they believe. Daniel and his friends would become servants to their new ruler and culture they lived in. What they did, they changed Daniel's name to Belshazzar. And his three young Hebrew boys that was with him, they changed their name to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, Daniel and his friends proved to be the wisest of all the trainees. Daniel's first sign of faithfulness to God when he rejected to eat the food from the king's table. You see, in their education, the four men from Judah became knowledgeable in all Babylonian matters, and Daniel was given by God the ability to understand dreams and visions of all kinds. What matter, no matter what situation you are placed in, this is for us learning from that. They was captives, they were slaves, their homes was burned, plenty of their friends was dead, they're now being ruled by the Babylonians. But no matter what situation you are in, you should always do your best so that God can get the glory. You know, there are several other things where Daniel refused in the midst of everything that was going on around him, and even the rule of the king that he had now begun to serve. And he served him humbly, and he was obedient, because, you see, that's what the Bible and that's what God asked for us Christians to do. But God said, you know, like a lot of people say, when you're in Rome, do as the Romans do, because the Bible says you should do as the Romans do, until what they want you to do exalts itself against the word of God. And that's what Daniel used. He was there. Whatever the king told him to do, he did it. But when it came down to the things of God, Daniel said, I don't think so. So some other things we could remember about Daniel when they told people they didn't want him praying to no other God but their God that they worship in the that they worshiped. And you got to remember, the Nebuchadnezzar was a Gentile. He was not a Jew. So they weren't being trained in the things of God and different things like that. So they had a bunch of idol gods. So they said that no one could pray, but Daniel would get in his window and pray 3 times a day as he always did. And God took care of him. As we study the life of Daniels, we'll see that even times of trouble, God has a master plan for his glory. And in his getting his glory, you are part of it. That's why you don't have to worry. Because things may not look good, feel good, taste good, or even act good. But you got to know that God is in the middle of it. And he's working it out for your good. You might not understand right now, but you'll probably understand by and by. You see, when things was at their worst possible position, God was working it out for their good. If God be for you, who can be against you? Now, we in the book of Daniels, but the 3rd chapter is talking mostly about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because that was Daniel's associates. Daniel is not necessarily mentioned in this chapter of the book that he wrote, but you could see the connections. That's why in the background I say how did they get connected with Daniel and things like that, so you could follow it through the reading. And now we're going into the scriptures. We're in the 3rd chapter. Nebuchadnezzar was the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and the breadth, therefore, 6 feet. He set it upon the plain of Dura in the province of Babylonia. Then Nebuchadnezzar sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, and treasurers, and counselors, the sheriff, and the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Then the prince and the governor, the captain, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriff, and all the rulers of the province were gathered together unto the dedication. Of the image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. I'm sorry, y'all. I went to the doctor today. I have fluid between my ears, and the fluid is draining, which is causing me to have a cough. So I got some medicine, and that too shall pass. But I just want you to pray for me and have patience with me, knowing that God will work it out. So I was the princes, the rulers have gathered together unto the dedication of the image that was set up. Then a herald cried out, "To you it is summoned, O people, nations, and language, that at what time you hear the sound of the trumpet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, declaimer, and all kind of mystic, ye shall fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And those who so fall it not down and worship shall be in the same hour, shall be cast into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sounds of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music. All the people, the nations, the language fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. So they've been captive. They've been going on their way. Probably everybody was worshiping their own gods. Nebuchadnezzar wanted power, and he made a golden image, and he said that everybody should bow down. You see, King Nebuchadnezzar built a huge golden statue and decreed that all the people bow down and worship it at a given signal. Nebuchadnezzar may have regarded the image as worship representing himself. He may have made that to say, you know, look at me, big and strong, full of gold. You know, he may have made it to represent himself. Or the worship of the image would be then the worship of the image would then be a recognition of his personal power, a symbol of their God. His decree went on to say that whosoever refused to bow down to it would be drawn into the blazing furnace. That's how the story starts. In verse 8, therefore at the time, certain cherubims came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, has made a decree that every man that should hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the sackbut, the parsley, the declaimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whosoever do not bow down and worship, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the providence of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, this looked like a little jealousy. Now, you got to remember that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had come from Jerusalem, and they were taken as slaves, and they're now in these cherubims, these was like leaders of Babylon. They had got positions and maybe even higher than their position. So you know people ain't feeling that. You know, so they went to the God, they went to the king and said, you know, you made all of this, you know, decree, and you say this and that. Well, I'm telling you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is not following your rules. Then they sought these men before the king. They went and got them and brought them before the king. 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said to them, is this true? O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my God or worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the parsley, the declaimer, and all of the music, that was the instruments, that was the different ones that was going to make the sounds. And when you hear that sound, you were supposed to just bow down in the direction of that golden image. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast in the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? He's telling them, you know, y'all want to worship y'all God. Now, I'm the king. I made a decree. Y'all not following. They have rules and regulations. He says, so if you don't bow, the same hour, I'm going to throw you in the burning fiery furnace. And who is that king that shall deliver you out my hands? And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. 17. if it be so. Come on now, they're getting. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand. But watch this. Then they say, O king, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God nor worship your golden image. Come on now. That's that, you know, that's faith. That's trust. That's commitment. That's sold out. You know, we have to ask ourselves, are we sold out, or do we compromise, or do we waver? They were sold out. They told him. The king said, we're going to see if your God going to get you out of my hands and deliver you out that furnace. He said, they told him, they said, if he don't, we're not going to serve your God. That's sold out. You see, faced with being thrown into the fiery furnace, the three faithfully announced that their God could rescue them from the fire. But even if he did not, they knew that he could. So they start holding on to the confession of their faith. They would not bow down to the image. When they said, if not, that was in the scripture. It does not indicate a lapse of faith on the part of the three men. Rather, they recognize, come on now, this is what we have to realize in our trials and tribulation. They recognize that sometimes it is the will of God for people to die in the line of duty as they serve him. See, they realize, you know, sometimes you have to die. Sometimes you have to go through. Sometimes you have to sit down. Sometimes you have to be taken from the front of the line and placed in the back, because it's all a part of God's master plan, but he's still working it out for your good. But you got to trust him. And you see, the worst thing in this situation was if they would have went in there and they got burnt up, they were still looking forward to eternal life forever. And because of their faith in God, and because of them holding on to the confession of their faith, even when they come in eternity, they would have a reward waiting for them. And besides that, look how their name is in the Holy Bible, and people teach and speak and use it. That's an honor to have your name written in the Bible. So they wasn't going to lose either way it goes. So we can't look at the things that happen in our life, or when we're staying up for God, or when we do what we know is right, that it's a setback. Many times we say with our mouth and not truly believing in our heart that God is able. You know, how you say that, Sister Diane? Every time you begin to worry and not pray. Every time you allow yourself to get depressed with a situation or circumstance that you have no control of, you know, every time you allow the thoughts in your head to consume you, because you see, we know that our head is the only place that Satan can dwell in. And he's forever trying to get us to accept his perception as truth. Because when we do, we make it our reality. And that's why we always sometimes look at our lives and we in places we didn't know how we got there or why. But I say it, sometimes we say with our mouth, but not truly believing in our heart that God is able. We begin to waver and start compromising our faith by saying things like, maybe God didn't hear me. I don't know why he didn't answer my prayer, because I've been asking. God don't understand what I'm going through. or I'm not worthy to receive what I'm asking from him because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. You see, but when you truly trust God, which means that you are saying that God knows best, it increases your faith, and you begin to realize that God has your best interest at heart, and he will never bring you so far to leave you. You know, people say, Sister Diane, how can I increase my faith? You increase your faith when you use your faith in circumstances and situation, and you see that you make it through, and then that's what increases your faith. That's why they say faith without works is dead. You got to work your faith for your faith to be increased and for your faith to become real to you. Because, you'll say, that, you know, I was in the toughest situation I thought I could ever be in my life. And yet through it all, God delivered you from that as well. That's what builds your faith. You see, remember this. Faith doesn't make God do what you want him to do, but it allows God to do what's best for you. And even when you do that, most of the times you will understand it better by and by. I'm going to say that one again. When we fully trust God, which means that God knows best, our faith is increased, realizing that God has our best interest at heart. And he never brings you so far and leave you. Faith doesn't make God do what you want him to do, when you want him to do it, and how you want him to do it. God is in total control because he's God. But it don't make him do what you want him to do, but it allows him to do what's best for you. And hold on, you will understand by and by. When it doesn't happen the way you think that it should, be patient. Wait until your change comes. That's faith. And 19 said, then when Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. See, by now he done got mad. He liked them. And he was all right with them. But now they disobeying him, and he don't like it. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it would to be heated. Come on now, y'all, listen at this. And he commanded the most mighty men in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound with their coats, their hosens, and their hats, and other garments, and was cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king commandments were urgent, the furnace exceedingly hot, the flames of the fire shoot those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What happened? He got mad. So now he's going to show them. So he told them to take them and put all their clothes on them, because you know when you got flammable stuff that makes you burn fast. He's saying, bound them together. He didn't even want them no relief, like if they could try to run or move. He said, but bound them. Bound them in a coat, you know. He's giving these orders. You see, when some people get mad with you, they go to great extents to get you. It's just real. It's just reality. And that's going to happen in our lives. Everybody ain't going to like you, especially when you say something they don't want to hear. They did this, and the men that worked for the king, after they had got them ready to go in a furnace. Something happened to them. One Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king. His attitude towards them changed. Nebuchadnezzar knew he had something great in the three Hebrew boys. Yes, he did. Yeah, Nebuchadnezzar, excuse for the short delay. Nebuchadnezzar knew that he had something in the Hebrew boys. As I said earlier, he saw their light just as well as he saw Daniel's light. And he knew that their God was with him. They brought great access to his kingdom. And he was impressed with their ability, the knowledge, the strength, the willingness to obey the leader which was placed over them. We are always taught to obey, but not when it goes against the word of God. It could be your husband, it could be your mom, it could be your daddy, it could be somebody in your life that's telling you to do things that you know ain't right. When you do that, you compromise your faith. You know it ain't right, but yet you just continue to do it because you want to do it. That's like putting God on a shelf, using him when you want something and expecting him to just take it, take what you give him any kind of way you want to give him. You know, God is waiting for us to have total commitment. And God said, you know, to follow me and to do what I ask you to do, he said it's not even necessarily for me. But it's for you. Because you know how you do something right. You know, just like people on the street that doing, you know, dealing in greed, conniving, and doing things that's wrong. Think about it. All the days in their life, they got to watch their back. And if you doing what is right, you don't have that to worry about. So God is saying doing what right is not for me. God going to be God if you don't do nothing. God is still going to be God if you never pick up a Bible, if you never go to a church. God is going to be God. But God say, what I'm asking and what I wrote in the Bible, the 66 books, which is your daily instructions for your daily living, he said, it's not for me. He said, but it's for you. So when we take the word of God and become hearers and not doers of the word of God, we only shortchanging ourselves because there's success in obedience to God. There's always have been and there always will be. Think about it. You know, some people only want to take the word of God that's convenient for them. Or they only want to do the things of God when they want to do it and they really think they're all right. They want to live like they want to live. They want to do what they want to do. They want to go when God says. They want to not go when God says go, and they want to keep going when God says stop. We have to really check out ourselves. And I didn't say y'all. I said ourselves. And we got to really, truly remember that God is in control. And you see, when we live our lives any kind of way, and, you know, we done did it so long, we think we getting aware that God don't care. And God forbid if you making up in your mind that you all right, you see. But you can't make up being all right with what you think because your perception is probably distorted because plenty of it come from Satan and you done took it as reality. And reality should deal with truth, but it's not true, but you have accepted it. Hallelujah. But he threw them in there and he tied them up and he made the furnace, you know, exceedingly hot, hotter than even necessary. And when the men went to push them in, their clothes caught a fire and they died. Look at God. Now, you got to remember, God is in control. And if we look at verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto the counselors, did not we cast three bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto him, King, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, hallelujah, loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth man is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came to the mount of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth, forth of the midst of the fire, and the priests, the governors, the captains, the kings, the counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whom body the fire had no power, nor was an hair on their head singed. Neither were their clothes charred, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. You know, God gave us these stories to show you his power, and what he did for them, he'll do for you. You know, God have a master plan before the foundation of the world. You know, in Jeremiah 29:11, God said, I know the plans and the thoughts I have towards you. You have to remember that. Then if you go to Psalms 139, he said, I formed you in your mother's womb. And then, you know, he said, before I formed you, you know, in your mother's womb, I took your innermost parts and I put them together inside of you. Then I took my hand and I formed you in your mother's womb. God got you. He created you. And he's working it out for your good. You just trust him. You see, the king was watching to see the Hebrew boy's destruction instead of three men falling down together because they were tied together. They were all standing tall. And now he sees a fort all loose, walking in the midst of the fire. He said, the fort is like the Son of God. Now, you got to remember, Nebuchadnezzar was not a Jew. He didn't practice the Judaism religion. But look at the words that came out of his mouth. It looks like the Son of God. He didn't know Jesus. Just the Old Testament, Jesus wasn't even born. Come on, y'all. And some of them who studied Judaism may heard of the coming of the Son of God and could have said the words, but he didn't even study Judaism to know the plan of God. But these are the words that came out of his mouth. Nebuchadnezzar was recognizing the God of the three men. It doesn't mean that he converted to their religion. It was simply an acknowledgement of their God's power. And I can say that because I know he didn't study. He wasn't looking for Jesus. He didn't, you know, that wasn't a part of him. And he was a Gentile. You see, it was obvious to those watching that this first person was supernatural. We cannot be certain who the fourth person was. It could have been an angel, or a pre-incarnated appearance of Jesus. But in either case, God sent a heavenly visit to accomplish these faithful men during their trials and troubles. That's what God does for you. He set it up and he sent people Come on now. How many times you say you didn't have nothing to eat and somebody knocked on your door and gave you some food? God sends people just like he sent the angel of the pre-incarnated Christ in the furnace with Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. Come on now, y'all. You didn't have a job, but all of a sudden somebody called you and they set you up and now you got a job. That's how the hand of God is working in our life. That's how he worked with them back in that day. But he says, since now my son and my spirit is living inside of you, I'm not going to come in appearance and do these miracles for you. You're going to have to do them for each other. You have to do it amongst yourself. That's why we got to be a blessing to one another. That's why we should be praying for one another. That's why we should be answering the needs for one another. But just like this happened, hallelujah, God's going to always send what you need. You see, God always have a ram in the bush. Nebuchadnezzar said, the fort is like the Son of God. And watch this. He told the Hebrew boys to come out. It's amazing that he had bound them. Come on now, y'all. And he told them to come out and he was able to walk. And if we read 28 through 30, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted him. He's saying that's a good God. The heathen saying God is a good God, and we have people who say they're Christian and can't say it. And because what he saw, the evidence that God had just showed him, he changed his word. How many times God give us evidence day in, day in, day out, and then we still don't trust him like we should? And yield their clothes that they might not serve no... He changed his word and yield their body that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. See, God did them that, and God showed his power. And he saw that it was good, and he acknowledged. He said, now y'all can serve y'all own God. Show you how God work it out for the good. Therefore, I make a decree that every person, nation, language, which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their home shall be made dunghills, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. He said, I ain't never saw God working out together for the good like this. I ain't never saw God, no other God, show up and show off like this. I ain't never saw God hold his people in his hand and protect them from fire. I ain't never saw God deliver them and allow them to come out standing once they was bound. I ain't never saw God that could do these things that has done right here, and I see it with my own eyes, and I know that it's a good God. That didn't make him convert, and that didn't make him choose God as his God, but he respected and he acknowledged who God was. That's power. And the last verse say, the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the promised providence of Babylon. You see, Nebuchadnezzar realized that God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was protected, held, and loved by our good and loving God. And look what it say. He was promoted. They were promoted. And what you say about that? You see, we got so many sayings we say when we read something like that. That's what you got to come up with. You need to be saying the devil set it up for the bad, but God turned it around for the good. That's how you could say those statements, because when you get the evidence from the word of God. And as I conclude on tonight, you know, if y'all remember, our last week lesson was God uses everything he created for our good and his glory. Some of our trials, tribulations, setbacks may seem bad. You got to remember, if you're reading the Word of God, what happened to Job? It was only a test. Plenty of times God allowed things to happen to us for our maturity, to get us off of milk and start eating meat. And always, it's always a part of his master plan. There's two things that God does. He either orchestrates or he allowed it. He allowed the Israelites to be captured by the Babylonians. But when he allowed them to be captured, because of his promise to Abraham, they were still his chosen people. He still had blessings for them that he had established. But he allowed them to go through that trial. But while he was in the middle of it, he was working it out for their good. God knew when they were captured how he was going to bring them out and what they was going to go through it. And this is where we see he used Daniel. And Daniel brought in the Hebrew boys, which we are studying tonight. And you read the book of Daniel and you'll see that Daniel, how Daniel was used by God every step of the way. Can God use you? God's deliverance of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was great victory of faith for the Jews in captivity. Now, God did this because, you know, those four weren't the only one in captivity. They had taken a lot of people out of Jerusalem, and they were there. But God wanted them to know he was with them, so he allowed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to go in the fiery furnace and they see it to increase their faith. You know, sometimes God is allowing you to go through something that you could be a witness for someone else and you could have a testimony. But God bring you out of some things and you don't even take time to share it with somebody else, which could be a word of encouragement to them. See, God uses everything he created, every event in our life for his glory. You see, they was protected from home. They was comforted in trials. God was glorified, and they were rewarded. The young men had been completely untouched by the fire and the heat. Watch this. Only the ropes that bound them had been burned. That's how they got loose, and that's how they was able to walk. You see, remember this. Remember this, no human can bind us if God wants us to be free. It may seem like it, you know, they got a lot of women who have, men have power over them, and many of them, they might be going through it for some time and then they really get free. But no man, no human can bind us if God wants us to be free. That same power that God, you know, displayed for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is available to us when we submit, obey, have faith, and trust God. Because if God be for you, who can be against you? And that's our program for tonight. I pray that it was something that was said that you could use in your Christian walk, something you could use to edify God, something that you could use to build yourself up. At this time, if there's anyone wanting to make a prayer request, if you want to pray, if you want to comment on the lesson, if you want to give words of encouragement, if you, whatever. Remember, this is our Bible study. I have a caller at 701-609. Your mic is now open.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm doing fine, and you?
I am good.
Glad you called.
Thank
you. Glad you called.
Enjoyed the lesson.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Yep. Man, lost for words now.
That's okay.
Have a praise report.
You could give it to us right now.
Okay. Well, I'm currently right now in Montana, and I'm here for schooling. And actually, it was my wife's idea to go to trucking school. Didn't want to do it because I got burnt in the past from other schools like this. Didn't want to go. Didn't want to spend the time to make preparation for it. God is good. I mean, He makes a way when we don't think that we can make, that He can make a way, because we're so stubborn and don't want to do what we've been called to do. We got into North Dakota a year ago because my wife took a job as addiction counselor. We drove 1,400 miles from Arkansas, where I'm from. She's in California, from Arkansas to North Dakota. A year later, God opened the door for me to get a chance to get my CDL. So I took a trip from North Dakota, Williston, to be exact, to Missoula, Montana, which is a 9.5-hour drive. On the way at night, you know, mind you, by myself, with a car packed, an SUV full of my stuff. So I got to the school around 10 o'clock last Sunday. School started the next day. Looked over the material that we have, had learned to get our permit. Took the test Monday, 3 tests. Passed one, failed the last two. But I was upset. I was upset all night long trying to get this thing packed. My trainer said, "Don't worry about it. I got faith in all y'all, because 3 of us. Don't worry. You're going to get this tomorrow." I'm like, whatever. So, make a long story short, to my test, my last two tests today, I have now my permit for my CDL Class A license. And it's just that when God moves and we don't think He's going to do it for us, we fool ourselves, because God can do anything but fail, and He cannot lie. So I actually thank and praise God on behalf of my wife that He gave her the idea to tell me, back in trucking school, see what happens. And I think I'm glad I did it, because I was unhappy in my last job. I was basically upset and mad every day because I hated working with my coworkers. But God can put you through so many tests. Like you just said about three people, boys, I was in my fire. They was heated 7 times at my job. I didn't like it. But God is a deliverer. And He was with me the whole time, from resigning from my job to traveling 9.5 hours from here to here, being safe, sound, no accidents, no carjackings, nothing, because God wanted me to fulfill His mission as far as being a truck driver, maybe not cross-country, but a few states in the West Coast. So I'm ecstatic about doing this right here. I'm excited. I'm elated. But I give God the praise, you know, and it's just Him and only Him that He can make a way out of no way for anybody. Anybody. Thank you.
I thank you so much, Carla. I don't know if this is your first time with the program, and I'm so glad you called. And I'm inviting you back. You know, whenever God allows it, we on this same thing on Mondays. There's also a blog station that if you go to my blog on the internet, you could get the programs 3 years back. Sometimes you just want to hear a word. But I thank you for calling in, Carla. I thank you for your words of encouragement. I thank you for giving God the praise, the honor, and the glory. And I thank you for letting us know that what God did for you, He can do for us as well. So
yeah.
I say to you, and I pray that you come back, and we'll meet up again on Wednesday if the Lord say the same. And until that time, you be blessed.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else have anything to say? Anybody would like to pray? Lead us out in prayer. I'm gonna go back to the caller. Caller, I had to come back to you because when once you press the one button and I open it, I might ask another question and I wouldn't know that you're pressing again because it doesn't press twice. But what I was asking,
okay,
if you wanted to lead in prayer, not trying to put you on the spot, but if I say that and you thought you would have wanted to, I couldn't get the prompt.
Oh, I wasn't expecting that, but I don't mind.
Always be ready for God. Always be ready. God, the word of God say we always have to be ready.
Yeah.
So, caller, at this time, you can lead us out in prayer.
Okay. Well, let me just, my name is Aaron. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let me just say one disclaimer real quick. For those who think they can't make it in life, you can. Because you're listening to a person who is or who has come from a life in the ghetto, from selling dope, gang banging, and I can proudly say that God has called me to the gospel 10 years ago to preach his word. Just got ordained last Wednesday, and each level in him, I give him glory for it. I may not have all my P's and Q's right, but I thank God for his grace. And every day, I give him the glory. God, we thank you for being who you are. God, we love you because you first loved us. God, we praise your name in all things that we have to go through because you either sent it or you allowed it. Just like Job, you allowed the devil to take everything but his soul. And in the end result, Job gave you the praise. And just like Job, we have to be silent. We have to walk and sit still because you said in your word that if we rest in you, everything will be all right. God, thank you for your darling son, Jesus, who died on a cross for us because we, as your people, God, was going on a burning ride to hell, fast ride to hell. But through your mercy, your love, your grace, you sent your son to die for our behalf so that we may have life in you and have it more abundantly. God, even those who do not know the pardon of their sins by knowing your son, I ask you, Father, to make them see reality and serve a true and living God. No, God, we don't serve Buddha. We don't serve Confucius. We don't even serve Allah, because that is not your name, but we serve you, Father God. God, we thank you for your love, because without your love, where would we be? For me, myself, God, I know where I would have been 20 years ago, dead, or maybe in prison for the things I've done. But you saved me, Lord, at the age of 32 years old. You trusted me enough down the line to preach your word, to tell others about your son. God, I love you for it. Even if you have not called me, I still love you for who you are. We love you for who you are, God. For those who are not saved just yet, they're going to be saved in your name. Thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you for the lady on the host. Bless her that you can bless as many times you can, God. Bless her family. Bless her friends. God, even bless her foes, God, because she's working for your kingdom. She's your daughter, God. And we ask you right now, God, to pour back into her twice, but she is poured out to us. I know you can do it. I know you will do it because you're able. But we are not rushing to do it in your own time. And as we wait on you, God, we just want to say hallelujah and thank you. It is in your name we pray, God. Amen.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I didn't ask your name because some people just don't like their name, but I thank you for giving your name. So give us, if you don't mind, you know, your full name and if you're called pastor or minister or elder or whatever.
I'm just a minister. I'm just like that. I'm just humble. My full name is Aaron Daniel Hubbard. I can give thanks to God one more time because he just now, that was just now, he had, ordained me last Wednesday. And I thank him for that because I've been preaching for 10 years. I got my license. And I just wanted to ask myself, when would I be ordained? Not rushing God, but I knew it was coming. And last Wednesday, he did it. Even though I still had trials and tribulations in my life, I thank him for the actual purpose that he has given me to overcome those tribulations. And I'm just lost for words. I cannot describe or put in enough words how God has been good to me.
All right, they say they're going to surpass anything you could understand, huh?
Nah, I can't. It's indescribable. I mean, wow. That's all I can say.
Yeah. That's the way God does it.
Yep.
So I would just like to thank you, sir, and thank you for giving us the words and the prayer and encouragement, and thank you for praying for me, you know, because
we all
need prayers and we all need encouragement, and I thank you for that. But as always, we're about to end. I never like to leave past the 1 hour, but when it's good, it's good. But we're going to go ahead and close for tonight, and if it's God's will, we'll be back on Wednesday. And I'm Diane Adams, your host, and you're listening to the Words of Wisdom. And I like to always say it's just plain and simple. This is not my Bible study. This is our Bible study. And God has allowed us to be together over 3 years. And it's really, really a blessing. And I don't take it lightly. All honor, praise, and glory goes to him. I'm only a vessel. I'm only his servants, and we come together and explore the word of God. And I'm going to give you a little short benediction. My mind's gone blank. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now, henceforth, and forevermore. Amen, and thank God. That's the end of our program for tonight. If it's God's will, we'll meet again on Wednesday. You go out this week, tell somebody about the goodness of God. Tell them that the Sunday school lesson this week is saying that Jesus said he came to seek and to save those that which were lost. That's our commandment. To share the word of God. Each and every one of us have something to say. So we should start saying it. Good night and be blessed.